I want to preach on a thought. The title here be a little strange, but you'll catch on as we preach. On I wasn't, I was, and I will be. And so you'll understand why we preach what that's on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, it may be rainy outside, but I'm glad we can have joy in our heart because of salvation, because of you. Because we know that our name is written in heaven. No matter what happens in our life, I'm glad that you have us and that we have you today. There may be somebody here today that is not saved, but lost and undone without you, dying and going to a devil's hell. And Lord, I pray you might save them. And Lord, just encourage them in salvation. Let them see how easy that it is to get saved. And Lord, I pray you might move in our heart. Lord, I pray you touch us while we might preach a little while. We certainly need you today, and Lord, we can't do anything without you. And Lord, you've come by many other times. We're just going to lean on you today to do what you've done in the past. Lord, just to help me and to help others. Lord, touch us and anoint us afresh today. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus who loved us and died for us so that we could get saved. Save that sinner's nearest hell for these things. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 2, if you would, as we begin to read in verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach out of this chapter. I really just needed somewhere to get started at. Listen, as we read the birth of Christ, it was no accident that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. If you look right here, it said that there was a taxing that was made when Cyrenius was governor, and everybody had to go into their own town and that to be taxed. And so we find in verse 4 that Joseph went from Galilee into the city of Nazareth under the city of David. And that was Bethlehem. And according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, Bethlehem Ephrathah is where the Savior had to be born. It was no accident, friend, that Jesus Jesus. I was born in Bethlehem. It was no accident that Jesus was born in that. The lineage of David, if you go back and you look under the Old Testament, you'll find that God had promised that that was going to happen. And so we find that he told these shepherds, and by the way, if you look through the Bible, you'll find that God loves shepherds. Amen. You know, David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. And you'll find that God loves shepherds. It's amazing that we're all compared to sheep. Amen. And that God loves shepherds. But I want to preach out of verse 20, if we could today, God being our helper. And he said, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Can I tell you today, friend, that I wasn't there when Jesus was born. But these shepherds had something to say. Hey, can I tell you that I wasn't there when Jesus was born? But I believe that he was born just like the Bible said. Amen. I say, what do you mean? Amen. Listen, that's important. Hey, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 7 that God was going to give a sign that a virgin shall conceive. Listen, man had nothing to do and that was the birth of Christ. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, you'll find that Mary asked the Lord, or asked that angel Gabriel of her, how shall this thing be? She said, I don't even know a man. And here's what he said in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel did. He said, how should she and I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hey, listen, a man didn't have nothing to do and that with his birth other than he come by Mary. Listen, God overshadowed her. God made him in her. He is the Son of God, the perfect Son of God that was born without man's intervention or man's way. Hey, listen, God come to this earth so we could be saved. Amen. Thank God for that today. But he was born in that of a virgin. But you know what? I wasn't there to see that thing. I wasn't there, listen, when he was birthed and laid over there in the manger. But I believe that. Don't you believe that? Hey, say, preacher, why do you believe that? Because the Bible says so. I wasn't there. Listen, when they took him down there on the eighth day of his life and was going to have him circumcised, and Simeon had been led up there to the temple, to the temple of God. And listen, the Bible said that he was waiting on the consolation of Israel. And I've told you this before. I believe that he waited, and as them babies would come by, he would peek. And them, he'd roll them covers back, and he'd say, that ain't him, and shut it back up, and then he'd roll another out, and he'd shut it back up and say, that ain't him. But you know, there was a day when Mary and Joseph took Jesus up there and that to the temple, and was going to sacrifice them two turtle doves, and the Bible said that Simeon looked at him and said, this is him. Listen, this is him, the one that has been born, the one that's come. You know what he said right here? He said this about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Luke chapter 2, as Simeon come, I believe it was, up there being led of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said that he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I wasn't there that day. I wasn't there. You say, what does it matter whether he's there? All this stuff is important. I wasn't there when he was 12 years old down there in the temple complex, and that asking and answering questions with the doctors, and they couldn't understand how smart that he was. I wasn't there when he started his earthly ministry at 30 years old and goes down to Bethabara, down there where John's baptizing, and John stands out over there in the Jordan River, and he peers out across the mountain or the hill, and he sees Jesus coming, and he points and he says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. I wasn't there for that. Do you believe that happened today? Do you believe that? I believe that that happened just as sure as little green apples grows on trees. If you'll let me say that, friend, and as much as it says it in this book, I believe it happened just like the Bible says so. I wasn't there when he healed the sick and healed the lepers. I wasn't there when he made the deaf to hear and the dumb to talk. I wasn't there when he healed the lame over there in the book of Mark chapter 2. The man that had the palsy and he was born afore, the Bible said. And they rolled back the roof of that house and let him down in there to where Jesus could heal this man. I wasn't there and that for that. I wasn't there when he cast out devils. I wasn't there when he fed the 5,000. I wasn't there when he preached the gospel. Well, wouldn't that have been something to hear Jesus preach? We think we're preachers sometimes. I got to thinking about that the other day. Well, when I was younger, I thought I was something else. I mean, I was on the radio, and if it moved, I shot at it. And if it kept moving, I'd shoot at it again, and I'd shoot at it sometimes just to make sure it wasn't going to move again. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying I was hard. Y'all think I'm hard now? You sort of heard me preach back then. I wasn't there when he stepped out in Mark chapter 4 on the bow of the boat and calmed the storm. But hadn't you ever had him do that for you? Step out on the bow of your boat and calm your storm. I wasn't there in Mark chapter 6 when them boys was in the Sea of Galilee over there and their boat was rocking back and forth in the middle of that storm. And he wasn't on board boat this time, but he come walking on the water. I wasn't there then. I wasn't there when he sent his disciples after that colt that was tied and that to a fence. I wasn't there when he got on that colt and rode into Jerusalem. I wasn't there when they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, and that to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't there in the upper room when they were having the Passover. I wasn't there in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Judas, when he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done, and his disciples fell asleep. I wasn't there when Judas come and betrayed him, and they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am he. And as soon as he said, I am he, they all fell backwards. I wasn't there at the trial. I wasn't there when Pilate sentenced him guilty. I wasn't there when they scourged him and beat him. Whereas Isaiah chapter 52 said that his visage was marred more than any man. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when they took him to Calvary and they hung him up in open naked shame. And they pierced his hands and pierced his feet for me and you. Amen, preacher. Well, they drove him them spikes through his hand. Hey, nothing wrong he had done. No sin he had. But friend, they took him and they hung him up. But I wasn't there. But yet it was my sin that hung him on Calvary. I wasn't there when God turned the sunlight out. I wasn't there when he made the earth quake because his son was hanging on Calvary. I wasn't there when he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I wasn't there when he cried aloud and yielded and gave up the ghost. I wasn't there. But I believe that happened, just like the Bible says. I wasn't there when Mary and all them other ladies went down there to the garden tomb 3 days later and the stone was rolled back and he wasn't there. I wasn't there either. And boys, Mary stood there and wept and cried and wanted to know where Jesus' body was. And Jesus coming out there while it was yet dark. And the Bible said that he was the gardener. Where have you borne him? She said, I'll take him. I don't know how Mary was going to do that. She couldn't carry him. And she still supposed him to be the gardener. The Bible said that he turned around there and said, Mary, Mary. And boy, when he done that, she knew who he was. But I wasn't there when Mary saw him. I wasn't there when Peter and John come running down to the empty tomb and looked in, and he wasn't there. I wasn't there when them two disciples on the road to Emmaus seen him, but didn't know who he was till he opened their eyes. I wasn't there when he met with Peter and them other disciples over on Galilee's shore, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said, "Feed my sheep." I wasn't there when he spent them 40 days with his disciples. I wasn't there when he ascended back into heaven. But I know that it happened. But I was there one Sunday night.
Amen.
When he spoke to my heart. And he came to where I was. I was there for that. See, all them other things was stories in the Bible that I believe. But there come a Sunday night when all that become real in my heart. See, I rattled all that off. And I know some of you just wondered where I was going. But listen, that man Jesus who was born over in Bethlehem of Judea, who lived and died and gave his life for me. Listen, he become real to me one Sunday night when he spoke to my heart. Thank God for that. Can I ask you, has he ever spoke to your heart? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door," he said, "I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." Has he ever been made real to you? He's real. I remember that night, so plain. And I played over in my mind sometimes. And sometimes it's because I think I want to remember. And sometimes I think it's just to run the devil away. Amen. Listen, he'll jump up on your shoulder and tell you didn't do everything right. He'll jump up on your shoulder and tell you God didn't save you. But listen, friend, I'll guarantee you, if God spoke to your heart and you moved and you came with a willing heart and a faithful heart and asked him to save you, he done his part. I'll guarantee it on the authority of God's word. He saved you. Amen. How can you say that? Because God's word is true today. Thank God for that. I remember the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the night that I went to church, I wasn't going to get saved. I dare say there's a lot of people that go to church, but they ain't going to get saved. You know why I went to church that night? Because that's what my mom and dad made me do. Listen, they drug us to church. We had a drug problem, amen. They drug us. They made us go, amen. That's what you ought to do to your children. You ought to make them go. It'll help them. You say they don't want to go. Of course they don't want to go. There's always something better else to be doing. There's always somewhere else they can be. But I'm glad they made us go because the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and began to squeeze on that thing one night and began to draw me. John 6 and 44, "No man can come into me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him and I'll raise him up to life." Hey, listen, he drawed me unto him and I moved to him and asked him to save me and he done it. Thank God for that. Amen. I come that night and I remember getting down on my knees and just a 14-year-old teenage boy didn't know nothing about getting saved. Been in church all his life, but really didn't know nothing about getting saved, but know that he needed to. And boy, I really didn't even know Romans 10, 9 and 10 at the time, where the Bible said, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I know nothing about that. But I know that I was lost. And I know that Jesus could save me if I come to him. I knew that much. And listen, I may not have known all them other stories that I talked about, but I didn't know he could save me. What about you? Listen, do you have something? Do you have a time that you can tell about? I'm not talking about going to an altar, friend, where you cried. I'm talking about going to an altar. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at church. Maybe it's on the backside of a minivan, brother. Amen. I ain't never forgot that. Where you knelt your head and bowed your heart and asked Jesus to save you. Have you ever done that? See, I wasn't there when they done all that other stuff, but I was there when I got saved. I do know about that. I do know what it means to be saved. I do know what it means to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You know what? I had to come off that back row and had to walk all the way up there and get saved. And you know what he done? He saved me. Listen, do you have a time that you can go back to? I've got a time that I can rest in. Amen. He can only take me back so far. Thank God for that. He can only take me back so far. Say, preacher, how do you know that Jesus done what he said he was going to do? Listen, first of all, his book says so. He cannot lie. He said, if you'll come, I'll save you. Listen, not only that, when I got saved, something happened to me that I couldn't make myself happen in a million years. He changed me from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'll never forget what Brother Ted was my friend. I remember him talking about getting saved. He said, I know I got saved. He said, man, I gambled and shot dice and done all those things and gambled away the house payment. But before I got saved, and he said, I ain't gambled a bit. And you know what? God does change you, friend. He does. If you don't think so, try him today. And he said, well, gambling ain't my problem. Yeah, but I'll tell you, hell's your problem if you ain't saved today, amen. Listen, you're knocking on hell's door, and that's where you're headed right now, unless you get saved, amen. Hey, I'm not only saved from my sin. Hey, when I got saved, he forgave me of my sin. Well, what a bargain. Amen. What about y'all with me this morning? Let me look out through here. Listen, when I got saved, when you got saved, your sin got what? Hey, listen, as far as the east is removed from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. But I was there for that. I didn't realize everything I got that night, but I just wanted to get saved. As I told you, I didn't go looking to get saved, and I couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached that night. But I know when the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, I moved. And boy, God saved me. Listen, I've got something to tell you. 1 Peter 3 said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the hope, the reason the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Brother Larry quoted this verse last week, Psalm 66. Come and hear all you that fear God, and I'll declare what he hath done for my soul. I can tell you what he done for me. He saved me. He saved me. And then he changed me. If you've not been changed, then there's probably no salvation on the inside. Now, you're still in the flesh. Your flesh is still going to want to do wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know what? If ain't something inside of you telling you, hey, whoa, you need to be stopping this, and whoa, you need to be doing this, and listen, if ain't something bothering you, listen, I don't know if you got what I got. Amen. Listen, the Bible said if we do wrong and we push that thing, he'll chasten us, amen, and he will get our attention. Amen, I'm glad he'll do that. Listen, I got saved off the back row. Now, not everybody can tell you what I'm about to tell you right now, but these two fellas sitting in the front, can that gentleman back there, I can tell you, but I can tell you about what it's like to be called to preach. I'll never forget that day, that morning. Hey, listen, I'd got saved off the back row, but by the time I'd got saved, I'd moved up to the second row. And that's where I found myself at that Sunday morning, was on the second row. He'll make a difference in you. Amen. He changed the way I looked at some things. But I remember being on that second row, and boy, God began to deal with my heart. He'd already dealt with me prior to that. I remember some of it. But I remember that Sunday morning, my preacher preached on out of the book over there where he said that he was looking for a man to stand in the gap. But he couldn't find one. And I remember God dealing my heart so much that morning, man, I was afraid. I ain't never been like this since then. I was afraid to leave the church house. I felt as though God was going to strike me dead. He said, preacher, God don't work that way. I don't know what he does in your life, but that's what he does in mine. He done that to me. Listen, I'm telling you about where I was when God began to deal with me about preaching. Listen, I felt as though he was going to strike me as either preach or lock all that church house and die that day. But God called me. I ain't never forgot that. I think back on that sometimes and thank him for the call. I was there for that. I do know what it means to get saved. I do know what it means to answer the call of the preacher. I do know what it means the times that I've got down on my knees and prayed and then God answers. I know what that's like. How about you? You ever tried him? I'm trying to remember the first prayer that I prayed that he ever I'm not talking about salvation and no same, but I'm just saying just one where, and I can't even remember, but where you pray and then God just moves. Ain't he still amazing? Ain't he still? I think God's still amazing. I think the Lord Jesus is still amazing. That, listen, friend, that me and you, as pitiful as we are, and he knoweth our frame, that we're just made out of dust, that, friend, that he leans over and he inclines unto our prayer and wants to hear from us. I'm amazed at that. At the times that he's come by and helped my soul. At the times that he strengthened me to keep going. I'm amazed at that. I was there for that. I do know what that's like. I do know what it's like to have a friend that will stick closer and better. I also know what it's like, friend, to have him disappear and you wonder what's going on too. But I know one thing, he's still there. I know what it's like to read this book and it be opened up to me and it become alive. You ever had that happen? I have. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to have my sin dealt with. Listen, I know what those things. What about you? See, those are some things you can talk about. I've got something to tell you about this morning. I can tell you about him dealing my heart and me moving and getting saved. Him telling me about preaching. Him coming in and just wanting to help me. I can tell you about those things. I can tell you about what he done way back on her. But I wasn't there. But I was there for my salvation. How about you? Have you been saved? Do you have a day, a time, a place that you can go back to and remember where you asked Jesus to come into your heart and he made a difference? You say, well, preacher, I can't remember back that far. I can't remember exactly what I... Listen, as I can't remember everything. My wife says as we get older, we just forget things. And we do. We do. I can't remember exactly what happened that Sunday night. I really can't. All I know is that I just asked him to save me. And you know what? I found out that he did. You know, as you say, well, did you just not know that after you asked him to save me? Yeah, I did for a little while. And then as a young Christian, your adversary jumps right up here, and what does he do? He'll whisper in that ear, won't he? And he'll begin to tell you God didn't do what he done. And so you know what I found out? I found out that I had to open my Bible and begin to read it. And I come to find out that God was true and everybody else is a liar. And I found that if he said if you'd come and asked him, he'd save you. I found that to be the truth. I wasn't there like them shepherds was when Jesus was born. But I was there when I was born again. You say, well, that's simple. For sure it's simple. I wasn't, but I was. And then number three, I will be one day. What do you mean you will be? I will be in heaven one day. 2 Corinthians 5 said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I had a fella over at the nursing home one time. We got to talking about things, and then I found out he believed in soul sleep. And listen, he said, I can take that. He said, I can take your Bible. And he said, do you want me to take your Bible and prove that? I said, no, I don't want you to take my Bible and prove that. I mean, what are you going to do with 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, where it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands eternal in heaven. You know what that's saying? That's saying if this body is dissolved, listen, we have a building of God in the heavens. Hey, listen, 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe you draw your last breath here. And if you're saved, you'll be over yonder. If you're unsaved, you'll die and go to hell. Just as sure as Luke 16 and the rich man, the Bible said that he was buried and in hell he lift up his eyes. Listen, he hadn't come to know Christ. He didn't know God. But listen, friend, for that one that knows salvation, listen, heaven is your home and my home today. He's made me a home and made me a way. just as sure as those places that I've never been or that I wasn't present for, God made me a way because I come one Sunday night. He's made me home. I will be there. He'll keep me through death. I'm glad that he's going to hug me up and love on me when it's time to go. He said, "Preacher, I just don't feel that secure about things." Hey, you ain't dying right now, friend. I've come to find out that we don't get the grace. Listen, we don't get dying grace till we need it. Do you know that? You need living grace right now, not dying grace. You need living grace. I've watched them old timers leave out of here. I have. I'll be honest with you. I ain't never going to forget this. And I know I talk about it from time to time. But I remember my sainted grandmother. I remember her leaving this earth. And I remember Mama calling me and telling me, "Now listen, if you want to see her, you need to come on down here." And I remember going down to the hospital. And when I walked into the room, there she was laying in the bed, and they had her propped up. And both them hands up in the air. Reckon what that is all about. Think about that for just a second. Why would somebody that was on their deathbed have both hands up in the air? Whew. I think about that. Even today I think about that. And them girls, Mama's sister and Mama herself, they'd rub her hand and they'd lay it down and say, "Mama, it's okay, it's okay." And they'd lay them hands down, and the next thing you know, whew, right back up in the air they were. You know, I've never seen her raise her hand one time in church. Where we went to church at, that they just didn't do that. Not where I grew up at. They just didn't raise her hand in church. Hey, I'm going to be like Mays Jackson. You better learn how to raise your hand and shout glory, hallelujah, because we're going to do it over yonder, friend. I'll guarantee you. How do you know that? Take your Bible and go to the book of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. While you're looking there, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. I will be in the rapture. What do you mean, preacher? You may die before you come, before he comes in the rapture. It don't matter. I'll be with him. Listen, if he comes before I die, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll leave out of here. And you know what? And you will too if you're saved. But listen, if I die and they plant me in the ground, you all have my funeral, you all just dance around my casket and clap your hand and say, "He's in heaven. He's in heaven." You clap your hand, Titus. You clap your hand. You dance around my casket and say, "He's in heaven. He's at home. He's at rest. He's at peace." But you know what? The Bible said, those that sleep in Jesus, he'll bring with him. You know what that means? Those that's done went on to be with the Lord, we're going to meet them in the air. We're going to be together, friend. Hey, that sainted grandmother of mine, it's on the other side. Those that I love, it's on the other side. I'm going to get to see them again. Thank God for that. Amen. But look here, I'll be in the rapture. But Revelation chapter 5, look in verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now I believe the 24 elders is the church, okay? He said, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Now worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in sea and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sat upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Hey, listen, I'll be part of that crowd. I'll be there you want to know what? I'll be there when they crown him king, when they make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, I'll be there that day to help him do that. Amen. Ain't you excited about that? I've never been to a coronation. I was thinking about that yesterday. I've never seen a king made king. But there's coming a day when the Lord of glory is going to be made. You say he ain't king now. No, listen, you go over to the book of Daniel and you'll find that the Son of Man cometh over there to the Ancient of Days, and you'll find that he's made king. Hey, I wasn't there when Jesus done all them works and done everything when he went to Calvary and died for me and you so that we could be. I wasn't there. I've seen it. What do you mean you've seen it? Oh, I've been to the cross. That night that he dealt with my heart, and I come and I knelt down. I just didn't realize where I was kneeling down at that day. But I was kneeling at the cross. Listen, if you've never been saved, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to get saved. You have something to tell. You have something to tell about him doing something for you. But friend, you can't say what I've said. I've said all them things about what I will be because I was saved. You follow what I'm saying? I wasn't there at the beginning of it all, but I was there in the middle of it. And listen, because I come to an altar and found salvation in Jesus Christ, I will be in heaven. I will be part of the rapture. I will be part of that group over there that bows down and casts their crowns back at him and helps crown him king that day. We're going to sing a new song. We're not much on singing a new song. We ought to be sometimes. Learn some new songs. But you know what? Right here, this is going to be a song that's sung to him and about him. You say, God's got a complex. God ain't got a complex. He deserves every bit of it because he gave himself for me and you. I wasn't, but I was, and I will be. How about you? Do you know you saved today? Let's bow our heads across the house if we would. Brother Jeff, if you'll come get a verse of invitation this morning. Brother Caldwell, if you'll come and help him this morning, if you will. Listen, he said, preacher, I wasn't there either for all that stuff. Yeah, I understand that. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Is there a place where you found yourself knelt down one day, one night, one afternoon, somewhere? Whether it was at a church, whether it was at home on the front porch, or whether it was at the back of that minivan. Has there been a place that you accepted Christ as your Savior? That's the most important thing that you'll ever do, friend, is trust Jesus to save you. Listen, we're going to pray. They're going to sing. We're going to sing. And listen, if Christ has spoke to your heart today, if Jesus has come by, I want you to realize something, friend. If you don't get saved and you die in that condition, you're going to die and go to hell. And Jesus wants to save you from that. Why don't you come and get saved this morning? You say, preacher, listen, everybody thinks I already. Don't matter. Listen. Listen, if you need to get saved, I want you to come. You might need to come pray. You might have a need on your heart today. If there's a need on your heart, I want you to come and give it to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. You know the need sitting in this church house. And Lord, you know that the devil's trying to keep folk from getting saved. You know that he's telling them that they've got plenty of time, that they don't have to come and get saved today. You know that he's telling them that, listen, making many excuses that they can come tonight. Lord, I pray today that if you've knocked on their heart, Lord, that they'll move, that they'll move. They may understand what you've done for them. They've just not trusted you yet. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with them today. Lord, there may be somebody here that just has a need upon their heart, and I pray that need would be met this morning. God, would you help during this invitation? We sure do love you, and we thank you this morning. I pray that you'll help. You know the need. You know the need this morning. These things in Jesus' name. Amen.